Hey guys, this is Jeremy, and I am here tonight with Savoy and Braddock for our second phone and text game conference call. Since the last one went so well, we had overwhelming demand to do another one of these. So Braddock and Savoy are going to be answering your questions about phone and text game, which is also going to give you a good taste of our phone and text game product. And I've just been told that we have 440 callers participating, which is a pretty awesome turnout. So thank you guys very much for tuning in and also for submitting all your questions to us. So let's get started with the first question. When you feel there is a drop in the conversation or you're running out of stuff to talk about, you want to end on a high note. If you've got to run or if you've got something to do and she shit tests you on it, what's your response? In other words, she says, what are you running off to? Do you have a date with another girl?
A high note could just as easily be a neutral note. It doesn't necessarily mean she has to be cracking up laughing or dying, you know, killing over because you're so interesting. Remember, we're trying to think of a game like a football field, as Tim Magnet would say. You want to go 10 yards at a time. So on any one call, don't assume, oh, my God, we're not on this ultra high note. I can't get off the phone. I need to try to come up with one more joke. You know, the number one rule is if you try hard, you die hard. So don't try to force it. If you're on a neutral note, that's just as fine to get off the phone. And then the second portion of this, if you give a, hey, I got to run or got something to do, and she shit tests you on it, what's your response? In other words, she says, why are you running off? Do you have a date with another girl? I don't know why you're worried about this. That's a quality problem. Any girl that says that, she must be invested and highly attracted to you, right?
I mean, think how often your female friends ask if, when you say you got to go off the phone, like, oh, do you have a date with another girl? Like, it doesn't happen unless there's some kind of romantic or sexual context going on.
Right. So the way I would handle that if I did it all is I would just laugh and I would agree and exaggerate. So when she says, so what are you running off to? Do you have a date with another girl? I'd say, well, you know, I gotta meet with my, I gotta meet with my wife and we're taking the kids to the park. And, we might, I don't know, we're going to go skiing or something. So I would just over-exaggerate that, but keep it playful and light. So what you don't want to do is sit there and overly explain and be like, oh, my God, no, I'm so sorry. I want to be on the phone with you, too. I really just need to get back to work. You just want to keep it light but not overly explanatory.
Yeah, just a little color commentary on that. I mean, I really like the 10 yards at a time football analogy because, you know, a football team doesn't try to always score on – it's not even always a good thing to score on every play. I mean, sometimes you need to take some time off the clock. And every phone – you know, a phone call is not live in-person stuff. So let's say your conversation's going sexual. And this is one of the things that, this is all out of Braddock's phone and text game book. But as the conversation starts going sexual, you don't really necessarily want it to end in phone sex because a lot of times that just – okay, then it's done. That dissipates the sexual tension. So you don't necessarily want to drive things as fast and as far as you can. Leaving on a high note isn't just a phone thing. I mean, it's an in-person thing. When you're, approach women in a bar, a club, or even in the daytime, you want to leave on a high note. And a high note isn't, hey, I got to go. One thing that I did when I was starting out was that I always kept one routine that I would never, under no circumstances, would use until it was time to go, so that I was never in a situation where I'm like, shit, I need one killer thing to just spike some attraction before I get out of here. Because I always had that one in the back of my head. I mean, I would change which one it was, but I would always have one reserved. And that's great for in-person or for on the phone, because what you don't want to be doing is being like, and you feel the momentum die before you say, hey, I got to go. So that's when you bring out your last killer piece, and then it's like, hey, I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not about always hitting, like, some extraordinarily high note. High notes are great. Neutral notes are fine. You just want to avoid getting off the phone on a low note. Mm-hmm. So it gets awkward and weird, and then you're like, well, I better run, because then, she's going to be like, shit, that was weird. I don't want to talk to that guy again. Now, one more thing, like I said, if she says, why are you getting off the phone? Why do you have to run? Are you going to go talk to, you going on a date with another girl? I'd be like, I can't tell you where I'm going. It's top secret. I told you I'd have to kill you. Stuff like that. Be vague and playful. Like, don't take it too serious. You wouldn't overly explain yourself to she's given you the power. Don't give the power away. Don't give it right back to her by being overly logical. Like, no, I'm going to the gym. I'll be done at 6:30. I'll call you right away.
Right? Here, so you're talking about what you might do. Yeah, you wouldn't want to say, you know, hey, I'm lay out your minute by minute plans. And, you know, one thing that I'd throw in there is, you know, and we can just break down every nuance of game for forever, is don't fall into the trap of qualifying yourself when she's like, what are you doing? Like, well, I'm going out with my, you know, my very good friend Joe. He's, you know, he's a friend of so-and-so's, and we're going to this club opening, and then we're going to go do this thing. Because it's just obvious that you're, you know, obviously you're qualifying yourself. It's not the way you would talk to a friend.
All right, next question. What is something cool to say when you first begin a conversation on the phone? I always end up saying, hi, how's it going, and hope something evolves from there, but it sounds kind of generic. It would be cool to start every phone chat with something dynamic and exciting.
Let me start that one, if I can. The hope method of picking up women is as successful as the hope method of birth control. You know, this is not a night at the improv. You know, there's a reason the routines manual exists. There's a reason why, you know, the phone and text game is coming out is full of word-for-word script and actual conversation. A phone conversation, you can script out so much more than an in-person conversation. I mentioned this in the last call, but don't be shy to have a sheet of paper in front of you with a couple bullet points of, all right, you know, I'm going to start off with this story, and then if the conversation goes this way, I'm going to do this, and here's this, and then I'm going to wrap up with that. You can have that in front of you. Heck, you can and should even record your phone calls, not for publication or anything like that, but just because it's so easy to, and you can listen to them afterwards. And you'll hear stuff about your tonality and how you're coming across that, you know, will save you a ton of time. All right, I'll test everybody.
Yeah, that's good advice. One thing I would say, you know, you said you're opening with, hey, how's it going? Which, honestly, let me tell you something. The better you get, the more mistakes you can make. The better you get at this, the more mistakes you can make. Also, if you guys were on the last phone call, you remember the short fuse, medium fuse, long fuse. Well, with the short fuse, hey, how's it going, is more than enough, okay? And girls in your social circle, that's also probably enough a lot of times. One of the reasons, you know, let's say necessity is the mother of all invention, that's kind of where the phone and text came from because of cold approach. So you're right. In cold approach, hey, how's it going, a lot of times isn't going to get it done. And something I learned from Savoy was you want to always create emotional momentum when you need it. So, like, when you're making that first phone call, he always says, don't waste the first 8 sentences of a call. So the first 8 sentences, if you want to use that to create some emotional momentum. Now, I want to clarify, I used to misconstrue that as meaning I need to be really high energy that first 8 lines. You can create emotional momentum in a very relaxed way, and that's actually better. One of the easiest ways is either to use a canned opener, something from the routines manual, literally anything. So as soon as she answers, you jump into something. Hey, weird question. What do you think about guys with mustaches? And she'll giggle and be like, I don't know. And then you just go right into you run the opener, and it creates a nice momentum. As opposed to, hi, what's up? Hey, what's up? What I put in the book, actually.
Yeah, you have that conversational kiss of death that I think we're all going to recognize from our first times out and our first phone calls to girls. Why don't you take us through that?
Yeah, this is just a bad one. So this is, on surface level, it may not even sound that bad to you, but if you put yourself behind the girl's perspective, so you call, she says hello. You're like, hey, Brittany, what's up? Brittany, not much. Braddock, that's cool. Did you have to work today? Brittany, yeah, just got off. Braddock, how was that? Brittany, it was okay. I didn't have that much to do. Braddock, you said you work in a clothing store down in Melrose, right? Yep. Braddock, yeah, I thought that's what you told me. So what are you doing now? I'm about to go to a yoga class with a friend. Braddock, I hear yoga is really hard. Do you like it? Brittany, yeah, it's cool. Hey, listen, I'm actually about to walk into the gym, so I got to let you go. Braddock, oh, okay, no problem. Hey, just real quick, the reason I called is I wanted to see if you want to grab a drink tonight.
Any guesses what the answer to that would be? I mean, that's not even as – I put it this way. I've had way worse conversations than that, and it's a testament to Braddock's skill that's a really bad example. But, you know, oftentimes you'll have the, you know, hey, what's up? And she'll say, who is this? You know, and we'll tell you a little later on the call how you can avoid the who is this part. But, you know, who is this? Oh, well, you know, it's Joe from, you know, this bar on Friday night. And he's like, oh, hi. And you're like, hey, remember me? I was wearing the green shirt. At that point, your conversation, your conversation is messed up. Anything you want with that girl is going to be gone. And that's why, you know, it gets to the interesting point that phone game isn't just what you do on the call. Like everything with love systems, it's about stacking the odds in your favor before the moment of truth. It's the reason why we spend so much time on like things like fashion, identity, creating social proof, and body language, so that when we first approach the girl, the odds are stacked in our favor. You know, the same thing with all this phone game stuff that we're going to talk about, like how to get a girl's phone number properly, how you frame that, the text messages you send before the first call. You know, all we're doing is stacking the odds in our favor. Yeah, guys like Braddock and myself are awesome pickup artists, and you put us in a room where we don't know anybody, completely cold, and we'll do well. But I think what we're even better at than just being great in the moment is, you know, really just turning the odds so unfairly in our favor before we even get started.
Yeah, totally. In the book, a lot of times I talk about, or you'll see when you read it, I talk about fortifying the beaches. And that's what we talked about in the last call. A lot of those things you can do in the bar or in this situation to create a short fuse so you don't have to be so epic on a phone call. But let me give you a quick, maybe half of this phone call, and you guys can read it when you get to the book. But this would be an example of a better creation of emotional momentum right out of the gate. So I call her. She says hello. And I say, hey, I'm standing in the bathroom at the Chevron gas station, and on the wall it says for a good time to call this number and ask for Brittany. Brittany, ha-ha, is that so? I called them and told them to erase that. I can't believe it's still up. Me, ha-ha, yeah, for sure. That's really disappointing. So did you catch anyone stealing any clothes today? So right there, instead of saying, don't you still work at – what I want you to realize is when you do make these calls, instead of making conversational dead ends, questions that you know the answer to – turning the statements or find a weird way to skew them in a way that begets more investment. So instead of saying, hey, don't you work at Melrose at a clothes store? I said, hey, so did you catch anyone stealing clothes today? All right, that's going to get her either role-playing with me and laughing or at least we're going somewhere with a little more momentum. She says, haha, no, but I did have this annoying girl come in and try on like 300 pair of jeans and she didn't buy any of them. It took me like an hour to put them all back together. I hate that. Braddock. I don't know if they told you this or not when you applied at the clothing store, but when people go to clothes shopping, they usually try stuff on. So now I'm doing a little bit of push-pull and a little bit of teasing just to keep the momentum going. She says, smart ass, this went well beyond trying stuff on. It looks like a tornado hit the store when she left. Me, ha, that would suck. So now I'm just acknowledging and keeping things moving. Not a big deal. You don't have to have a joke for everything. She says, what are you doing, Oklahoma boy? I said, well, I met this really cute girl that works in this clothing store on Melrose, and I wanted to see if she wanted to get a drink with me later this week, but I'm not sure how to ask her. I mean, she's really pushy and intimidating when she was trying to sell me stuff, so I have no idea how she'll be on the phone. She'll probably try to upsell me from drink to dinner to a weekend in France. Any advice on how I should ask her out? So we won't go through the rest of this call because I want to keep moving, but I want to show you that that's all in the book. But I want to show you, like, that is a good example of creating emotional momentum and keeping things. You can see where she'd be like, yeah, it would be fun to go on a date with this guy. As opposed to the first guy, if she checks inside out, she checks in with her emotions, she goes, okay, I'm kind of bored. I'm not really having fun now. Why would I want to go on 4 more hours of this shit? Right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the notes I want Myron to think about on this is that, you know, the book's got page after page of these actual phone conversations that Braddock's had that have gotten girls out on dates and text message conversations. And, I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, one of the best few guys in the world that still will make a recording of his call now and then, will still, like, look at his text messages and look for patterns and stuff like that. You never stop learning and you never stop progressing. And if we're the best teachers in the world, but you're really your best teacher is yourself. And you got to give yourself the raw material to do that. So, you know, definitely one of the things that I want you guys to do when you get the book, and if you get the book within the first few days of us releasing it, you get one of the bonus ebook is actually just a whole other book called Situations and Scenarios, which is full of, you know, yet more text and phone message conversations, so you can see exactly what to do. But one of the things I want you to do when you get the book and you're reading through it, is get inspired to start looking at what you're doing and that stuff yourself. because you know you can correct a lot of the mistakes that you're making if you know what the right thing to do is.
All right. Now for the next question, we covered this as it pertains to you know the first few minutes of the call. So Braddock, when you answer this, I think maybe we should kind of talk about you know after the first
yep.
few minutes of the call what happens. So here's the question. How do you keep it going during a phone call? I'm so boring. Do I need more DHB stories? I just stall out because I can't think of anything to say.
If you guys that don't know, DHB story is demonstration of higher value. It just basically means bragging about cool shit in your life. And the answer is yes and no. One thing I want you guys to get really, if you've taken my Inner Game seminar, you realize you've got to get to a place where you start screening girls and you stop trying to impress them so much, which I know that's really hard to understand if you're like, yeah, but this girl's not interested in me, so I gotta, it's a weird clash of concepts there. But you've got to filter it through. I'm half trying to demonstrate some of the key parts about myself, yet I'm not trying to overly impress her, if that makes sense. So to answer that, you know, when you get the book, if you could continue reading on some of the stuff we just covered, but let me give you some just basic things you can do to keep things going. Like I said, I usually open with a canned opener, maybe something from the, you know, we're talking about the first call here, first couple of calls. Maybe a canned opener. Then I've got a couple of canned stories I use. They're all in the routines manual as well, just to kind of keep things going if it gets stuck. But I'll also do is get a 3x5 card if I'm really stuck, and I'll write down 4 or 5 normal topics to talk about. Nothing extravagant, nothing amazing. Maybe something like, hey, did you see that movie Avatar yet? Me and my roommate just saw that last night. Damn, that was awesome. You would not believe when you see that in 3D. Holy shit. Just to get her opened up and just talk to her as if my roommate, the Hunter, always says, you know, you want to get to a place where you talk to girls like you would talk to one of your buddies. You know when you're trapped in the airport and you're just like, oh, I'm bored, and you call one of your friends? Think of the questions you ask each other and the bullshit you talk about. So those are some of the topic ideas that you're just going to throw about her to keep things moving. One of the biggest misconceptions with stuff is you've got to have something interesting to say all the time. What you want to do is go what I teach on my seminars and in the book is you want to go for normal, normal, normal spike. Normal, normal, normal spike. Now, what you want to avoid is, you know, negative, negative spike, normal, normal, negative spike, or normal, 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 negative. But even worse, I think, because it sets a terrible precedent, is to go spike, 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 spike. Because when you do that, there's no way to maintain that for the rest of the relationship, and you burn out so fast.